the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. We'll try to get to those texts in due course. At the conclusion of today's program, so keep them coming, guys. We do appreciate it. Joining us now on the line, he represents Tallapoosa County, portion of Tallapoosa County. Good friend of the program, State Representative Ed Oliver from Dadeville on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. I want to get you on before we get into the business of legislative politics. Let's tell me the off season election cycle. Obviously, you had a really tumultuous election cycle, not of your doing, but it's not been as expected as maybe people would might have anticipated.
Well, no, we obviously with the District 27 Senate race, which covers the majority of my district, that was exciting. And it was historical. You know, we had a three-term Republican lose in the primary by one vote.
Yeah, so no shortage of excitement there. So I wanted to get you on here, talk about it's still the education, public education in Alabama, still. And, there still seems to be this push of these sort of left of center ideas, and it could be left of center or right of center, but the divisive concepts, let's say, something that didn't get to where it needed to be in this last legislative session, but it looks to me like maybe we're starting to see a little bit more and a little bit more of the need as time goes on for some kind of rules, some kind of guidelines in public education in Alabama.
Well, Jeff, I would like to say that the House passed the anti-CRT bill, the divisive concepts bill. It took us a little longer than we had expected, and a lot of that was making people understand the importance and the need. We failed in the Senate, and once again, it's one of those issues where every district is different. And as we have, as Republicans have taken power and more people come to the Republican Party, we have got some purple districts now that you've got some representatives that are uncomfortable with Republican legislation, and that's just where we are.
It's interesting you say that, but I think some of it is the education bureaucracy, and that really has an outsized influence. Because Representative, we talk about having Republican supermajorities. In a state like Alabama, if the layman would think that all of this stuff, especially divisive concepts and the pushback against CRT, is a no-brainer, but that's not necessarily the case.
It's not. I take responsibility for some of that, for not explaining well enough and convincing my colleagues how important this is. But once again, there are a lot of influences at play. I'm in a district where it's not a problem for me to be a Republican. I can be as conservative as I need to be, and folks here appreciate that. I think some other people still have the misconception that Democrats will vote for them. I believe ultimately that's just not true, that Republicans vote for Republicans and Democrats vote for Democrats.
Well, here's what I find, that in a perfect world, if you had engagement at the local level, perhaps, then the needle would move a lot more in that direction. But we saw it in the low turnout primary and the even lower turnout runoff. But then people seem to be very keenly focused on national issues. And I think if you had more participation, Say you just went around talking to people on the street. I assume this is what you're hearing in Tallapoosa County in your neck of the woods. But that they would support a lot of this. But it boils down to this: those people that are the most fired up about some of these issues are sitting out local elections and really focused on national things.
Right. And I'm very fortunate. I did not have an opponent. So I was able to continue on with this bill and go out and talk and proselytize my issues. And I understand it's different for folks that do have opponents. And like I said, every district's different. There are different folks, different issues that they have to contend with. But most politics, all politics, are local. And it's how you relate to the folks that you represent. I believe it's very important that as a state representative, the folks I represent know that I believe this is important and this will come home to roost in our district if we don't handle it. So I think I've got great support here from my district, and I think statewide I've got great support. I think we will pass this bill easily this next session. Senator Barfoot is going to carry it in the Senate again. I plan to carry it in the House again unless something changes. I think we'll be much better prepared to address the issues that come with this bill.
Well, looking at public education in general in Alabama, the results leave much to be desired, but we're having such an outsized focus on critical race theory, on, you know, school choice aside, but what's going on in the classroom and what's being taught. And I'm curious to hear what you think of this. Is that taken away from the core mission of public education? Are we having, is that hurting test scores? Is that doing things to that is maybe taking the focus away?
Jeff, there are factors at play. There are many of them. It's not just critical race theory or Marxist teachers or thoughts and ideas that come in through curricula. All those are factors, but there are simple things that we've done to make it difficult for teachers themselves. You know, we have things. The biggest complaint I have from teachers is discipline. It's not money. It's discipline in the classroom. And these are good schools, good teachers. The other thing that we face in this state that is difficult for people to understand, test scores don't really mean a lot. When you look at the number of kids that are going to school that are from families where they have all the indicators that would indicate poverty, where you have to just believe that they do not value education. And that's something that we've got to figure out how to get around, and no amount of money is going to fix that.
Well,
that's something we have to be smart enough to figure out.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a cultural problem, right? Is there a government solution for everything? But I guess that would lead me to this question. These cultural problems that every state has to deal with, them, why does it seem so much worse in Alabama?
Numbers. You know, we're in a state where over 40% that are eligible to work don't. We're in a state where more than half of the babies born are born on Medicaid. We have some numbers that we just cannot sustain going into the future. So therein is our challenge. Public education, because it's mandatory, compulsory, the legislature does have to assume the responsibility for what our kids are taught and how it's taught. Now, we push that to the local school boards, but ultimately, what goes on in public schools is the responsibility of the legislature. So that's one reason I feel compelled to work on this piece of legislation. And we've got more things coming up that we hope will help public education and get the focus back on the classroom and back on teaching the individual.
So my friend Dale Jackson in Huntsville, he thinks the local education, so much of it is decentralized, like you say, that we really, the state leans on local school boards to deal with the business of their own school system. However, that they're nonpartisan, and maybe in some places in the state, people don't know what they're getting. They don't know what they're getting. It's less about an affiliation with a party or ideology and more of just a retail ground level politics, which in some ways is good. But his argument is without that party label, voters don't really know. And that just really changes the dynamic of the direction of school systems in Alabama.
I think you're absolutely right. There is a political component, or there should be, because we elect the people that actually govern our schools. When you mention retail education, that we buy textbooks, we buy the learning programs, we buy all the information that comes in that makes up our curriculum. And therein is the challenge. You hear people say that, well, we don't teach critical race theory in school. It's not taught in school. Well, nobody, you know, the truth is we don't care if you teach about critical race theory. It's the pedagogy. It's the teaching. It's the Marxist theories that come through it. The storytelling, all the things that support the things that we don't want our kids to have to deal with. We'd rather they be learning math and science and getting great STEM training and preparing for the future than learning the 1619 Project or marching around the classroom learning how to be activists. And those are pretty gross examples, but that's what we're trying to achieve here.
And, you know, the other thing about it is it's really what has become a focus of teachers, right? That, and I don't know, maybe this is where you make a real big difference, but it's that individual teacher in each classroom, right? But for some reason, we've been, maybe it's the college level or whatever, that we're getting teachers that do have a more left of center view, world view, and that's where these concepts are being born out of. It's like a self-perpetuating problem. And you know, do you try to look at the problem from that standpoint?
Well, you look at the teachers that teach the teachers. Therein is the challenge. We had a hearing in Terry Collins' committee last year, and we actually had a professor from Auburn that came and spoke to us, and I was horrified. You know, it's the old thing, if you repeat the lie long enough, it becomes the truth. Well, that's exactly what we're faced with. These are people that believe in what they're doing. They want to sexualize, they want to racialize kids in school and make that the issue of the day. It's not about learning, it's about making them political activists in their own light, which I'll just tell you straight up, that's not what public education is for, and that's not a mission I'm willing to sign on to.
Well, what occurs to me, though, it is, it's hard enough to get teachers in the first place, right? That
sure,
and a lot of them are not qualified. You're starting to hear this, that they're taking teachers that don't pass all the necessary tests. We're just in such short supply. So it's like this in a lot of state governments with the bureaucracy, with the Department of Corrections. It's the state seems to be having a hard time getting the right people in place.
Well, here's what we've done. Of course, you know, we've raised pay for certain teachers in our system. We have starting pay of up to $70,000 for teachers in math and science. That's helpful, but the biggest complaint is not pay. It is discipline in the classroom. And there are certain things where we have federal guidelines that are difficult to deal with. Mainstreaming kids. Everybody wants to do that, but at the same time, there comes a point where if you have children that are so disruptive in a classroom that other kids can't learn, then you sit there and wonder under, you know, who thought this was a good idea? We do so many things that are self-inflicted in our public schools that we really need to back up and take a look at. And I would never propose to do that without wanting to be fair and trying to help as many kids as we can. But once again, we have to look at what we're doing in our schools, what makes sense, and whether we can produce a product that's worthy of what taxpayers are putting into it.
Does what do you think of that? There's a big push for school choice, and you're talking about, you know, that we would have a market, the marketplace would force schools to get better because if students started moving around, well, that cut off money. But you know, you hear that in the more populated areas. Well, what about a place like where you are, Tallapoosa County? There are there options? Do you think that would be a system that would work in your district?
I'm not sure what it would look like here. Obviously, we have a strong public school system here. We have some great schools in Tallapoosa County. We have a great city school system. would school choice make a difference for us? School choice doesn't mean a voucher to go to a private school or a charter school. It means going from one school district to the next. Our problem is we have some schools that are a little better than others in our public school districts. So, yeah, obviously that's an issue for us. I'm not sure what it would look like in a rural setting, and it's not nearly as burning an issue here as it would be in some more urban-type settings. I do believe that, among others, will be a bill that you'll see sneak its way onto the floor, or at least there will be an attempt to get it on the floor this next session.
I mean, that's what I tell my friends who are big school choice people, that, you know, in a lot of rural Alabama, their mamas went to the school, their daddies went to this school, their grandparents, it's multi-generational. It's what the small town rallies around on Friday nights during football season. It is a cultural component of the community. And if the state were to come in and start tinkering with that, you have a lot of upset people. So, you know, maybe it works in some places and not in others. You just don't have an option of private schooling. That seems to be the struggle, particularly when they put a bill on the floor and try to get guys like you to vote for it.
I think that's probably true. And you mentioned the football rivalries. That's huge in my district. I could not overstate that.
Yeah, so I always tell these, you know, my good friends that are just vociferous, they're just adamant about school choice. It's understanding there's a cultural component to public education in Alabama that sometimes gets missed, I think.
Right, but once again, districts are different. And I'm one of those people, I'm an Army guy, so the first thing you do is don't try to invent something on your own. You go look at what's worked well in other places and try to emulate those things that are successful. And I think that's probably where we're missing the boat with school choice is we're, you know, I like to look at South Carolina. That's a state that's very similar to ours, and look at things they are doing or have done that either worked or failed and try to make judgment from that. But states that have similar populations and demographics are really where I go. And is the more you look, you see that there's not an easy answer.
I agree with that. Hey, Representative, we got to get out of here. We're up against a break. But thanks for coming on, making time for us this morning.
Glad to be on anytime, and I sure do appreciate it, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. State Representative Ed Oliver there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Baby.